And now, by this time, God had begun to impress in my spirit that, you know, you're going into government at some point. In my head, I'm thinking, you know, when you hear government, you're thinking civil servants, you're thinking coats on the chair. You're thinking, surely, God, you could not have raised me for this, you know. But I had really misjudged what God wanted to do with me at the time. So I finish my master's, I graduate, and this was around 2012, 2013. And that's when now he begins to pump in my spirit about the nation. And that thing that was a spark begins to intensify in my spirit. That's when now in 2014, we did the McDowell concert.
Yes, because William McDowell.
He began to now emphasize certain things in my spirit and in my heart that were now manifesting regarding the nation and all that.
By the time you're making a concert like that free, there's some miraculous things that have happened.
Yeah.
To bring... By the way, we're talking about at the time you're the biggest
gospel artist.
Yes, in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I mean?
Yeah.
That's cost to bring him. You brought his whole band, venues, all these things.
Yeah.
I know there was the plan to be a cover charge, and then suddenly I had there was an announcement that it was free.
So what happened was we had planned, you know, I knew God wanted us to bring him, me in particular, and we had gone through the process, agreed. Made a down payment, God provided for that. And because you're already thinking, the pattern is you do a concert, you charge to recover your costs because you have to pay for KICC,
yes.
You have to pay for his ground transport, for his flights,
sound,
you have to pay his
light,
costs because
yeah,
you also have to pay him. And the obvious thing was to charge tickets so that you're able to recover your costs. And one of these mornings, as we were planning and prepping, very close to him arriving, God asks me, who told you to charge? Now this is, I'm like... Why did you let me go through the planning process to get to this point only to ask me? It's almost like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And the question in my spirit was, this is worship. This is a platform that you're creating for people to worship. I showed you this in high school. I'm the one who said you're doing it. You didn't even come back to me and say, how are we doing it? You understand? Again, the training and the practice of hearing and knowing the mind of God, not just the initial thing he tells you, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. It's the thing about, okay, Pharaoh has refused. What are we doing? Then he says, don't worry, I got you. There are 10 series of things that are going to happen. But in that whole process, you will get to know me better. But he doesn't tell you that at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He actually tells you because he wants you to know. You know, I think it's in 1 Peter 2:3. It says about that grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Like there's an incremental multiplication that happens. The peace comes and the grace comes as you get to know him. You get confident in the boat when there's a storm because you've gotten to the point of knowing the one who multiplied the bread and the fish, he can handle this as well. So there has to be that incremental knowledge of God. And that was, again, another opportunity for me to get to know him. So he says, cancel the tickets because at least I have a witness here. There was a charge and then suddenly we say it's free. Mm-hmm. And the place was packed to capacity. There was an overflow outside and it was an amazing experience. Beyond what happened there for everyone else, it was my knowledge of him. You know the way Moses can be leading people? They are seeing the signs and the wonders, but Moses is having a totally different experience
with
God.
Yes, exactly.
That was me. As getting to know God on levels that first of all, it's not your industry. You have no business doing a concert, but because he said you did, you turned the opposite or a different direction, he corrects you, you still end up in his will. Those are the kind of things that anchor me in terms of my walk with God, because you get to know him, not even from scripture, but from having encounters with him where he says you do. And I mean, we finished that concert, no debt, not owing anyone, McDowell. Everyone was sorted and everything sort of like worked out together the way as if we had raised enough money to pay plus profit.
That's insane. Yeah. I love what you've said. You know what you're talking about is a miracle. That is the definition of a miracle happening. And one of the things that a miracle does is it makes you understand it shows you God's might and his power and his ability to provide miraculously.
Mm-hmm.
But it also makes you feel his love. Direct love for you. You're seeing all those people and you're like, Yanni used me to do this.
Yeah.
Like what on earth is that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're finishing this governance school, you've graduated, tug of war happening between corporate and governance.
Yeah.
Are you beginning to read the newspaper and watch news and think
Well, largely because of what was going on at the time. Mm. So this is now 2014, getting into 2015, there was all this debacle about like different personalities in government and all.
Yes.
Now, one of the things that God began to do for me was point me to what was happening at the time using the programs that were being rolled out, because this is a new government that had just come in. Mm-hmm. So we've gone into devolution, there are different counties.
Yes.
And it's an interesting, you have like different personalities showing up in the governance space. And because my parents were still living in Kibera at the time, they would give me updates of, have you seen, you know, in fact, nowadays there's no, what we'd call crime, you know, there's streetlights, there's what, and of course you'd go visit, but then when you start hearing that rapid transformation that was happening in the place, you're like, I have to go see for myself.
Mm.
So when I went this particular time, when now we were going around to different places, because it's beyond where they were staying at the time, when we went to different places, you realize it's actually possible, because now this is what God was trying to use to speak to me. It's actually possible to be in government and to transform people's lives.
Oh man, yes.
That it's not about that coat, that jacket you were seeing on the chair, that there's actually a possibility of government being able to be used to transform the lives of ordinary Kenyans and ordinary people.
In fact, the bottleneck is there.
Precisely.
Mm.
So I get into this space where I begin following different people just to watch, you know, of course we've gotten a new president, Uhuru, at the time. Mm-hmm. It was a different experience compared to the previous president. You have the duo, you know, the way they were working together. And then my mind was drawn, or God began to draw my heart to Governor Waiguru at the time.
Mm.
No, she was a minister at the time. She was in charge of the different projects that were being rolled out. And I just started watching, for some reason,
so
I found myself.
Before this, you had nothing.
No. So I'll tell you at what point, just so you know how God sort of like makes things work together.
So your heart starts feeling like it is.
So he's drawing me to government, like he's drawing my attention to government. Not like I'm interested in it, but somehow there's this thing like you need to pay more attention in this on this space and all that.
It's a curiosity.
Curiosity.
Mm.
No, like the spirit tagging, you know, like they tell you.
Beyond curiosity.
Beyond curiosity. So I start watching interviews, her interviews and all that, and I'm looking and I'm like, okay, that's a good answer. Now I'm dealing with her as a minister, talking about the projects and talking about different things, and my heart is drawn to her and I don't know why.
Whoa.
So I was watching most of the president's speeches as well and just following through and seeing what exactly are we doing in terms of development as a country. So long story short, I won't get into it, but then a mutual friend introduces me to her in, you know, in a certain way. So a mutual friend introduces me to her, and basically a mutual friend introduces me to the son, who I then begin to like help and work on a project with. And then at some point, the son introduces me to the mom. And I realize, okay, this is then the minister of devolution, Waiguru. And the way he introduced me is, you guys are so similar in terms of the way you push and the way you, you know, do all this stuff. And so I thought to myself, I had begun to admire her because she was young and she was vibrant in the you know, in the governance space and all that stuff. And I didn't know why.
Mm.
Because remember, I'm not interested in governance, despite of having gone through a whole master's program.
And you're still in corporate.
I was still in corporate. I was still deep
still in
corporate.
Company B.
In fact, I forgot to say that once I finished my master's, immediately the school introduced a PhD program in governance. And God says, you're doing it. So I enrolled in my PhD again in governance. And basically, I was stuck in this world of governance because I knew somehow God would use it later. So fast forward to this time, this is around 2014, 2015. I get to meet her and that was the only interaction that I had with her at the time. And of course, she begins to go through this whole process and journey of the pressure that was mounting on her at the time.
Mm.
And because I've just been introduced to her, and we probably speak on phone. I mean, she's a whole minister, so you don't have direct connections in that sense.
Mm.
This day, I was on a flight coming back from one of the countries where I was overseeing something, and God tells me, text her and tell her you're going to pray with her on Saturday. So in my head, I'm thinking, me? You know who we are talking about, you know? Because at that time, you're thinking, you know? But because it was God, I texted her and she said, oh, absolutely. And I went to her that Saturday. And in fact, what I told her again, based on what I had heard from the Spirit, was ask her to call a few of her girlfriends who pray and pray with her, because she was going through the drama that we all know was the drama at the time. And so I went, and this was like now maybe my third or fourth interaction with her. And I went that following Saturday, met with her girlfriends for the first time, and we began to pray. And for every Saturday, for almost a year and a half, this is now the whole of 2015 into 2016, almost every Saturday I'd be at her house for you know, fellowship and breakfast and prayer. It was just consistently holding her before God, not from a distance saying, I'm praying for you, because that was my assignment. It was more of, you show up and you pray with her. You uphold her before God. So I got to know a different side of her, not because of what I was reading or anything like that. It was God literally made a way for me to sit in front of someone who I had no, you know,
connection
with previously. And all he told me was, uphold her before me in prayer. And we'd do that together consistently, even when, you know, like it was basically consistently for many Saturdays. And that was my introduction to her. Not from what she had done, because I had already seen her work and read about it, but it was introduction in the Spirit, that this is what, this is who this person is in the Spirit. Now, by the time, this is now into 2016, by the time she decides to go run, you know, in for governor in Kirinyaga, or rather initially Nairobi and then governor in Kirinyaga, that's her story, so I won't tell it. I was there throughout that process to be able to, like, basically still maintain my role. The only brief I had is uphold her in prayer. So through the decisions, through the madness, through the drama, through the headlines, it was just maintain her in prayer, you know, uphold her before me in prayer. So we get to...
First of all, let me say, it's so important that you have shared your story, because there's nothing about your character that is changing. So it's just the people who are coming in. You know, if I told you, start this story from the beginning,
yeah,
and you tell me, oh, God told me to go and pray for governor, and I'm going to be like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, this even was me, he's telling me to go pray for, you know,
for whoever.
but this has been your story through the ups, through the downs.
And it was a seemingly difficult thing for me to do, because I didn't know why he wanted me to do that. Like, why are you thrusting me in the middle of something that is so chaotic at the time, you know? And one thing that I forgot to mention is, remember when I met her, I think it was the second time when I was meeting her, the third time, she then asked me, what are you doing with yourself? You know, like trying to get to know me a bit more. And I said, okay, I'm doing this program. You know, I told her my whole struggle with governance. And then she said, you could try an opportunity in government to see how you feel about it, because sometimes that exposure affirms in your spirit or in your mind that this is the thing you want to do. You know, the way you do internship or apprenticeship, so that you're able to know, is this what I really want to do? So there was an opportunity, because as a minister, you're able to appoint or recommend different people. There was an opportunity for appointment to different places. And that's how I ended up on the youth board, because it was a proposal of, I said, I'm interested in government. And I say that I would want that experience or exposure, because I'm in corporate, me, I haven't had to leave yet. I just want to know, what is this animal called government? And the opportunity came up, and you know, that's how I ended up there. And that was towards the end of, I think, 2014. And I remember, literally, it was November 2014.
Was that with
the youth fund?
With Bruce Odhiambo, was
yes.
he heading it?
Yes, he was the chairman at the time.
Yes, okay.
So I literally joined in 2014, like around November. And then in 2015, like February, it was disbanded because of the previous issues they had had. So, and for me, I had just gotten excited about government, literally, because I thought, oh my God, we actually have a fund that can help young people, that young people can come with ideas and get funded. But then I saw how it was being not, let me not say mismanaged, but then it wasn't attaining to the potential that it could have. Remember, I'm coming from corporate.
Yep.
I'm coming with the mentality.
And targets.
I'm thinking there has to be repayment. If they're not repaying, there's a reason why. And I found out it's because many of them were coming up with ideas that are not viable. But and if they're not viable, they won't make money. And if they don't make money, they won't be able to pay.
Yes.
So on what basis are you giving
vetting?
Them loans?
What's the vetting process for them to get?
Precisely. And it was a revolving fund. So now those kind of things began to intrigue me. But lo and behold, you know, shortly after that, there was too much drama. And I said, this is the other side of government that maybe I'm not sure about. Just the drama, you know.
And was that what showed you? Like, actually, there's something that you said that is so huge. You saw the problems and how can we fix the problems if this vetting process is wrong? But us from the outside, people who've not engaged with government, and first of all, every Kenyan has engaged with government because you need government services.
Yeah.
but we see the monkey, we see the corruption, we see, like, that's the only narrative that is told, that even before going there, you know, that's all you've had. So you're already going there knowing,
watch out,
this thing is coming. So what did, I'm just saying that because you've triggered me when you've talked about, in a positive way, when you've talked about seeing a problem that maybe nobody had a solution to because corporate Kenya don't want to engage.
In fact, at the time, I began to say, can I work with the CEO to help him set structures for us to be able to streamline this thing better? And I was just thinking, in fact, at some point, one or two of the board members were telling me, you'd be really good for this job. But in my head, I'm thinking, oh, hell no. I just want to help. I just want to help, you know? But I could see the opportunity. I could see the potential. I could see the areas that we're not being efficient and where we could just tweak a little bit and become efficient, because I could see the vision that the people who set up the fund had and the potential that it could have. But you know, sometimes, especially in government, you have the vision bearer, say, let's say the president, but if you don't have the right foot soldiers, the ideas will be curtailed, and you know, they'll just be steel bats because they're great ideas but wrong execution.
Company A, you had a visionary. The visionary needed a helper.
Yeah.
And the helper is somebody who will run with the vision.
Precisely. And that's what also happened in Company B, because I came to make sure that the targets that are being set, the people that are entrusted to achieve those targets are also like working towards them. So by the time, okay, I've not gotten there yet. So by this time, when I'm being exposed to government, this was my like 4 months stint in, this is what Youth Fund is. Mm-hmm. This is a sample of what government is. Mm-hmm. And that was the whole story I needed to know in a way of government, because I saw huge potential, but areas, a lot of inefficiency that could be tweaked to actually achieve the intention that that was set for the fund in this case.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
So I'm praying with her. And this is now 2016, end of 2016. Of course, she's now gotten into election. I would go during the campaign period to hang out with her. And I was like, I don't even know how you do this, you know?